on now. You want me to do it again? Good evening. Good to see you all here tonight. By chance, were any of you listening to talk radio about 3:30 to 3:45 this afternoon? I turned it on right in the middle of them talking to Phil Robertson. And I understand that Phil Robertson is a member of the church. From what I was hearing, I turned on right in the middle of it. He has a new, of course, he's the one from Duck Dynasty. They have a new program coming on. And I'm not sure how many of the Robertson family are going to be involved in the program, but it's called In the Woods or Into the Woods, something along that nature. And he was talking about it, and he was talking about he is involved in them preaching the gospel of Christ. And the part I heard was they were preaching Christ. They were baptizing people in the river just like the apostles did. And he said they were doing it in the woods somewhere. And I'm wondering if that program that they're fixing to come up with, it's going to be a religious-based program. I don't know. But he was talking about them going to Angola. I believe it was Angola. Doing mission work, and said they were baptizing thousands of people. And then I said something to Darlene about it, and she told me, she's the one that told me that he was a member of the church. So I hope she's right, and I hope there's a lot of good work going on through him, and I hope that this new program he's got coming on is going to be something that is good. But I wish I had heard the whole thing. I just caught it right at the tail end of it where he was talking about that. And I'm not even sure whose radio show he was on. But anyway, that's where my truck radio stays, 92.5. That's all I listen to. I don't listen to music anymore. I do not watch news on TV, world news. Every time I try to listen to world news, I get aggravated and I turn it to something else, because I'm tired of lies. I'm tired of hearing it. Thank you. Happy birthday tomorrow, Milton. Okay, we're in Acts chapter 16 on the subject of baptism. Milton was telling me I'd wasted enough time. It's time to get going here. So, Acts chapter 16. We're going to finish up Acts tonight. Hopefully next week we will get started on Romans chapter 6, Lord willing. And I'm going to see about getting a marker board in here to use for my lesson next week. I'll only need it this one time. In Acts chapter 16, beginning verse 14, we are studying the subject of baptism. We're going to finish up Acts tonight, and I'm going to do a recap over the book to kind of bring it all together. Verse 14 says, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us." Now, notice that the Lord opened her heart, and that's one of the things we should pray for with the lost, that God will open their hearts to hear the truth. That is what has happened here. This woman's heart had been opened. And notice it says she attended unto the things which were spoken by Paul. She attended. That means she did the things spoken by Paul. Well, what did she do? She was baptized. Her and all of her household. So this is just another example of the necessity of baptism and how all the people in the book of Acts were doing this. And we're going to do that in our recap in just a few moments. Okay, now let's drop on down to verse 19. And this is the main one I want us to look at tonight. Now, between 14 and 19, this is where this woman, this possessed with a spirit of divination, it says, and she had been following Paul around and saying, this is men, servants of the Most High God, who show unto us the way of salvation. And she had followed them around several days, and finally Paul got upset. She was so annoying that Paul told her, or Paul cast that spirit of divination out of her. Okay. And then verse 19 says, and when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace and to the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. So here, Paul and Silas been cast into prison. The jailer was charged that he was to keep them. In other words, you do not let them escape. Being given this charge, he put them in the most secure part of the prison, in the innermost part of the prison. And not only that, he put them in chains and shackles so that they could not get out, could not get loose. And then verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. Okay, now let's look at what's occurring here. These men were in prison. The jailer had been charged, do not let these men escape. And so the jailer did everything humanly possible to keep them from escaping. Okay, but then, of course, God shook the earth with an earthquake, shook the prison, all the doors were open, the chains fell off. There's no doubt this was a miraculous event. And their chains fell off, and the jailer, or the keeper of the prison, whatever you want to call him, was going to kill himself. And you might think, well, that sounds kind of strange. But if you recall, in Acts chapter 12, when Peter was put in prison, he escaped. An angel came and opened the doors of the prison and took him out. You remember that, where he was knocking on the door and the little girl came to the door and saw him and was so excited she ran back to tell everybody and didn't open the door and let him in. You recall that when it happened in Acts chapter 12. What happened in Acts chapter 12, according to verses 18 and 19, when Herod found out that Peter had escaped, he had the keepers of the prison killed. Okay? So there's little doubt that this keeper of this prison here in Philippi knew what had happened in the case with Peter in Acts chapter 12, he most likely, all the keepers of the prison anywhere in that area had heard how Herod had these keepers of the prison killed because they had allowed a prisoner to escape, especially Peter. Okay? So, knowing this, he knew that his life was in jeopardy. Most likely he was going to be killed. And it probably wouldn't have been too pleasant of an experience, if there is such a thing as being killed. But there might have been a little torture to go along with his being killed. And so he was just going to take his own life. Okay, so he drew out his sword. He was going to kill himself. And Paul stopped him. Okay? There's no doubt this jailer knew something miraculous had just occurred. He knew where he had put Paul and Silas. He knew there was no way out. But then he feels the ground shake. He wakes up and hears all the doors open. And he thought, well, you know, all the prisoners have escaped. But Paul said, do yourself no harm. Then he called for a light, went in, and found Paul and Silas. And here in verse 30 is the most important question that's ever been asked by the mouths of men. There's no greater question that a person can ask. And there's no greater thing, no greater answer that we need to have than the one that goes with this question. He asked, what must I do to be saved? Well, then you go to the next verse, and here's what Paul said. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Now, there are so many people who will read this, and they will say, well, see, right there, there's the answer. All you have to do is believe. There's one problem with that here. Okay, well, first, there's more than one problem, but we're going to address this. But why would this person be told that all he had to do is believe? When, in all the other incidents that we have looked at, they were told they had to be baptized. Okay, so there's a problem here. And a lot of people don't understand that problem. Okay, did Paul tell him that he had to believe? Well, he sure did. If you believe, you shall be saved. That's exactly what he told him. There's one problem. This man is a Gentile. This man is part of the Roman army. This man probably had never even heard of Christ. Now, he may have heard rumors of Christ. He may have heard a few things about it. But he had absolutely no idea what he had to believe. Okay? He had to know what to believe in order to be saved. And every, you know, what good does it do a person if they live a perfect life or near perfect life, if they live a good moral life? And you hear about people like this all the time that, you know, they'll tell you, say, well, I live a good life. I do good. You know, generous to people, I'm nice to people. I do all these good things, and so I don't really feel I have anything to worry about. Well, Cornelius was one of the greatest men that the Bible talks about. It says he was a devout man who prayed to God always and gave alms to the people. He was one of these people that say this today, that say, you know, this is all I have to do is just live a good life. God's going to be pleased with that. Well, no, he wasn't pleased with the way Cornelius, the condition that he was in, he was still coming up short. Okay? So we have a man here, and we don't know what kind of man he was, but he asked the most serious question a man could ask. What must I do to be saved? And they said, well, you've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what part of the Lord Jesus Christ did he have to believe? You know, what part of the gospel did he have to know? Well, he had to know about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We've seen that in every account that we've looked at in the book of Acts. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so, He told him he did have to believe and you should be saved. What good is it if you are baptized and you don't believe? Will it do anything for you? It'll get you wet. But that's all it's going to do. What good is it if you live a good life, but yet you're still in your sins? Is that going to be enough to save you? What about if you're living a bad life and you decide to turn your life around and start living a good life? Is that alone going to be enough to save you? What about if you do confess that Jesus is the Son of God, but you don't really believe it? You see, the most important part of salvation is you've got to believe. That's number one. That's the top of the list. First, you have to believe. Because if you do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, there's no hope. There's no hope. So the first thing you have to do is you have to believe. So he had to believe, but the problem is he don't know what he needs to believe. Because look at what it says next in verse 32. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. So here they are teaching him. Now, he told him, you have to believe and then you can be saved. Okay, you shall be saved if you believe. But is that all he had to do? Well, then they taught him the word of the Lord and to all the people that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. Now, what time did the earthquake come and the prison doors open? Midnight. So you give a little time to pass, maybe an hour, maybe two. So you're talking 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. Here these people are. Now think about this. They didn't have flashlights, okay? They didn't have batteries. They didn't have, electricity where they could just flip lights on and be able to see. He took them at 1 or 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning when it was dark outside down and baptized them down to a lake, pond, river, whatever. But it had to be enough water to baptize them in. If it was not urgent, if it was not something that was necessary, why did they go in the middle of the night to baptize these people? You see the necessity of this. I mean, they had to light candles or torches or whatever it took to light the way to go somewhere to baptize these people. And they did it in the middle of the night. So when he told him, when he asked that question, what must I do to be saved? He said, you've got to believe. Then they taught him and his household what they had to believe. And when they knew what they were supposed to believe and accepted it, then he took them in the middle of the night and baptized them. So if it wasn't important, why do it in the middle of the night? Okay, now that's just a little more evidence that we are being directed toward. And we're going to, like I said, we're going to do a recap here in just a moment. All right, now go to chapter 18, verse 8. We're just going to look at one verse here. And this verse, verse 8, says, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Okay, so again, they had to believe. When they believed, then they were baptized. You know, Crispus here is one of the ones who is mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that we will look at later when Paul said, I'm glad I didn't baptize any of you because of the divisions they were having. And he said one of the ones that he mentioned that he had baptized was Crispus. So here Crispus, another piece of evidence that Crispus and many of the Corinthians heard, they believed, and were baptized. Okay. Now let's go to 19, verse 1. 19, verse 1. Okay. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" And they said, "We have not so much as heard whether there be the Holy Spirit." Now listen to this. Have you heard or have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? We hadn't even heard whether there be a Holy Spirit. Paul knew immediately something was wrong. If they had been baptized with Christian baptism, they would have been at least baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So they would have at least heard of the Holy Spirit. So when they said this, you see, Paul came going to bestow upon them some spiritual gifts. Okay? And so he asked them if they already had any, if they had received the Holy Spirit since they believed, and said, "We hadn't even heard whether there be a Holy Spirit." Then he asked a question, "Unto what then were you baptized?" Well, where did baptism come from here? All he asked them was, had they received it since they believed? Well, these were disciples, and if they were disciples, he concluded that they had to have been baptized. Okay? He just made that assumption because they were followers. If they were followers, then they had to be baptized. Okay? So he said, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" And they said, "We haven't even heard of the Holy Spirit. Unto what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." And he said, "Well, truly John baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him who should come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." Now, many have assumed, and I will say assumed, many have assumed that these men were baptized before Christian baptism began. I mean, after Christian baptism began. Many believe that they were baptized with John's baptism after Christian baptism had started in Acts chapter 2. And that's the reason they had to be baptized again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is an assumption. Okay? What I'm fixing to say is also an assumption. Okay? Maybe these men had been baptized before Christian baptism and knew only the baptism of John and had not been baptized again after the occurrences of Acts chapter 2. Like I said, this is just my assumption. Regardless, they had to be baptized. There's no doubt about it. Here shows absolutely the necessity of being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay, well, now whether or not it was before Acts 2 or after Acts 2, that doesn't matter. The fact is, they had to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So it leaves no doubt that these men, according to what Paul is telling them, this was a necessary ingredient in their salvation. It had to be done. Okay. Any comments, questions on this so far? Yes, sir. Right. Okay, well, that's a good point. You know, like I said, that's an assumption. Maybe they only knew, maybe they were baptized by somebody who didn't know Christian baptism had started, and, you know, were baptized with John. That's the point I was trying to make, okay? So, you know, I used the, when we studied Acts chapter 2, Peter told them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." And I brought that out when we were looking at Acts chapter 2. He did not make any exceptions. He did not say, well, you who have been baptized with John's baptism don't have to be baptized again. You see, that's not there. Many people have concluded that if you were baptized with John's baptism before Acts chapter 2, that you didn't have to be baptized again. That's not in here. I haven't found that. Okay. If you know where that's at, tell me. Yes. Right. Into Christ, into the body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 says, we are all baptized into one body. What is the body? Well, the body is the body of Christ. The body is the church. The body is the kingdom. We are all baptized into that one body. There's no other way into the body. There's no other way to get in. Okay. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Okay. Okay. Any other comments, questions? Okay. And we are going to get into that, Brother Clarence, next week. We won't have time tonight. Well, next week we're going to look at Romans chapter 6. In my opinion, that gives the best description of what baptism is, what baptism does. I don't know how anybody can read Romans 6 verses 3 through 7 and not see the truth. It explains it in detail. And like I said, we're going to take a really close, in-depth look at that next week. Okay, now this finishes up the book of Acts. Now I want to do a little recap here. You put it all together, go through it very quickly, looking at all the occurrences that we've looked at, and it makes it all come together. I have gone through it slowly and tried to look at the context of all these verses and show you how these people were saved, what the apostles were doing, and how they were administering Christian baptism to all these people they were teaching. Okay. Now, recall, and Acts 2 is the carrying out of the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth has been given to me. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. He was telling his apostles, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then Luke's account, Luke 24, he told them to go and wait in Jerusalem until they had received the promise of the Father. And also in Acts chapter 1, it's repeated again that they were to wait in Jerusalem until they received the promise of the Father. Wait for what? Wait till they received the Holy Spirit, who would guide them into all truth so that they would be able to carry out the Great Commission. The book of Acts is a record of how the Great Commission was carried out, how it was carried into all the world. And we find that the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, came upon them in Acts chapter 2. Peter stood up and preached that gospel sermon, that first gospel sermon, and he told them, you have crucified the Son of God. The one that David prophesied about, the one that he has been seated at the right hand of God, you have taken and you have crucified him with wicked hands. And they were pricked in their hearts. They were convicted of their sin. They knew that what he was saying is true, that they had killed the Son of God. And so they asked the question, what must we do? That's pretty much the same question that's asked in here, verse in chapter 16. what must I do to be saved? When they found out they had killed the Son of God, they said, what must we do? That's what they wanted to know. What must we do to be saved? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Okay, they had been guided into all truth. They had begun to carry out the great commission Jesus gave them to go into all the world, preach the gospel, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is where it began. And then you turn over to Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Here again, Peter says, repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Now, what's the difference in blotting out sins and remission of sins? Well, it's the same thing. What's the difference in being converted and being baptized? Well, it's the same thing. Converted means to be changed. When one is baptized for the remission of sins, they are changed. They are converted. They go from being a sinner to being free from sin. That's the conversion that takes place. And then you go to Acts chapter 8. Give me just one second. In Acts chapter 6, we read where there was a great company of the priests that were obedient to the faith. Well, how do you obey the faith? Well, you obey what the faith teaches. You obey what the gospel teaches. Well, how were they obedient to the faith? Well, they were doing the same thing. God did not give them two different things to do, or a half a dozen of things to do, or a dozen. There's only one way. Acts 4 and verse 12, there is none other name given among... No, it's not 4. Verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other authority under heaven. That means on earth there is no other authority by which we must be saved. So this is the one and only way. When they were obedient to the faith, they obeyed the gospel. They believed, they repented, and they were baptized. And then you get to Acts chapter 8. We find Philip in Samaria. Philip is preaching to the Samaritans. It says, and when they believed the things concerning the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Jesus Christ, when they believed, they were baptized. And then it says, Simon the sorcerer, when he believed, he was baptized. And then you go on later on in the Acts chapter 8, you find the Ethiopian treasurer who was on his way to from Jerusalem to Gaza, on his way home to Ethiopia, and he was riding along in his chariot. He was reading from the book of Isaiah. God instructed him to go and join himself to the chariot. He did. When he got there, the man was reading Isaiah 53, where it was talking about the crucifixion of Christ. And it says he began at that point and preached unto him Jesus. And when he preached unto him Jesus, he asked the Ethiopian, when they came upon water, he said, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And he said, if you believe, you can. He said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He commanded the chariot to stop. They both went down into the water. He baptized him, and they both came up out of the water. He came out of the water rejoicing because his sins had been forgiven. And then you go to Acts chapter 9, where we find the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. He was on the road to Damascus. Jesus appeared to him, and he was blinded. He told him, he said, you go find Ananias in the city of Damascus. You go to him, and he will tell you what you ought to do. So he went immediately. It took 3 days, but he got there. He found Ananias, and Ananias said, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That's found in Acts 22, verse 16, where Paul is recounting his conversion on the road to Damascus. and appearance of Jesus to him. So he believed and was baptized. The Ethiopian believed and was baptized. And he made that great confession. Well, then you go to Acts chapter 10 and you find the Gentiles. The apostles still were not accepting the Gentiles as equals. God knew that. God had to show them that the Gentiles were on equal ground with them. They were equals. They were no longer inferior to the Jews, but they were equal to the Jews when they entered into the kingdom, into the gospel kingdom. And when the Holy Spirit fell upon them, Peter said, commanded them that they were to be baptized. He commanded them to be baptized. He didn't ask them and tell them you need to. He commanded it because they had already received the Holy Spirit because they believed. Okay, and then we get on to Acts chapter 16 that we looked at tonight. Lydia and her household, when they believed, they were baptized. The Philippian jailer, when he believed and knew what to believe, he was baptized. And then we find the people in Ephesus who knew only the baptism of John, when they found out they were coming up short, that there was more to their salvation than the baptism of John, that now there was the baptism into Jesus Christ, then they were baptized into Christ. Okay. One other verse I want to look at in Acts, right quick. Bring up chapter 13, verse 38 through 41. This has nothing to do, well, I'll put it this way. It does have something to do with what we're studying. It does not mention baptism, but it can't be left out of it. Okay, now look at this. Start verse 38. Be it known unto you, brethren, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. This is Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 5. I mentioned this last week and I forgot where I was going to use it. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5. Now listen to this prophecy. Behold, ye despisers, and wander and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. What was the work? It's not plurals. It's not works. A work. What was the work? Is believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay, out of time. We'll pick up with that next week and we'll go into Romans chapter 6. Lord be with you. Thank you very much.